We're in part two of our series Fruited, which was a follow-up of our previous series Rooted. And last week we talked about the fact that our relationship with God is not a performance. That as we do the different things that we do as far as worshiping God and conducting ourselves, we don't do it to be noticed. We don't do it so that people will say, oh, look what a great Christian they are. And that so often we think that it's going through those motions that even impresses God. And God wants us to worship Him, and there are things that we do. We talked about prayer and fasting and giving, and these are all parts of how we worship God. But that this is part of an intimate relationship with God, not part of a public performance. It's not so other people will look and say, oh, look how spiritual you are. So that's what we talked about last week. So as we go into part two, and as we continue to listen to Jesus teaching us from the book of Matthew, what are the values that you pursue and that fight for right now? And this has always been true, but I think right now we're seeing it more clearly, that as we try to figure out the next step and as countries around the world try to figure out what to do next with both the health issues and the economic issues, and even just getting along between countries and then getting along in this country as we have various groups and various people who want various things. And what about us? And so how do you decide and how do you navigate this? And as we try to make decisions, you know, as you make decisions of what you're going to do with your week, how are you going to react to what's going on in our world? And what things are you going to fight for? And the question we're going to ask this morning is, do you fight for, pursue, and value good things? Or something even greater than that? And what would it mean to value something even greater than what we would call good things? With that in mind, why don't we read Matthew? We're in chapter 6 still, as we were last week, but now we're in verses 19 through 34. So if you will turn with me to Matthew chapter 6 and read along in your Bible as we read verses 19 through 34. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So then, if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you, that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. That passage is pretty familiar to probably many of us. But I want to just unpack it a little and look at it a little and just see a few things. There are two questions that are answered in this passage. And the first question is, in verse 21, where is your treasure? And the second question is asked in 33, what is your treasure? Where is your treasure? And what is your treasure? And what's really cool, if you notice, that as Jesus discusses where your treasure is and what your treasure is, he has the same answer for both. The kingdom. That your treasure is to be in the kingdom, not on earth, and your treasure is to be the kingdom. He says, so make sure your treasure is in heaven, make sure your treasure is in his kingdom, and then he says, and what should you seek? His kingdom. So both cases, what your treasure is and where your treasure is the kingdom. Now, this very simple answer of what is your treasure and where is your treasure will determine much of your day-to-day life and how spiritually healthy you are. Your life and your spiritual health. And he tells us that. And this, you know, sometimes we skip over the parts that we go, I don't understand what he's saying here, but it's not hard. Because if you look in verses 22 and 23, he explains that point. The eye is the lamp of the body. In other words, everything that comes into you light-wise, which is the metaphor he's using right now, comes in through the eye. He says, so if your eye is on the kingdom, your whole body is flooded with light and you're healthy. If your eye is darkness, your whole body is filled with darkness. He says, if the best light you have is darkness, oh, that's pretty dark. And so he's not being super obscure. He's being really clear that depending on where your eyes are, depending on what you're worried about, what you're pursuing, will determine whether you're healthy or not. And all the way through here, he's very consistent. So let's look at, he has a little chart. Is your treasure here or is your treasure the kingdom? He says, if your treasure is here, it's fragile. It can be lost. He talks about that moth and rust can decay it and it can be stolen. So your treasure is fragile. It pulls you away from God. He talks in verse 24 about two masters. He says, if you're pursuing things here, then you're going to pull away from God. You can't serve two masters. One will pull you away from the other. And he says, you will be anxious. You will worry. And he spends a lot of time talking about how worrying about treasure here. And notice, these are not bad things. He's not talking about some sort of sinful, ugly, evil lust. He talks about eating and clothing. We call those staples. Right? Those are just simple things. And yet, man, how much has the last 8 weeks, 9 weeks demonstrated that the world worries about such things? Toilet paper, anyone? You know, pasta? What happened? The minute there was a sense of anxiety, people ran out. And suddenly you couldn't get stuff, and then not being able to get it, what? It made you anxious. I mean, I had to fight that. I remember a month ago, I was like, man, do we have enough toilet paper? Because I don't know if I can find it. Maybe I should start looking for it now. And I began to feel anxious, and we were fine. I still don't think we've had to buy any. But there was that sense of, man, am I going to be able to get what I need? Well, what am I focusing on? If I have that anxiety, that's treasure here. As opposed to the kingdom, where I'm totally secure. Where my life is characterized by light, spiritual light and health. And a distinct lack of anxiety. Right now, maybe you have a lot of anxiety. Maybe you're just, you know, like even having to come to church this way. Well, if you have anxiety, which treasure are you seeking? Anxiety is never a sign that your faith and your trust is in the kingdom. And that's what this whole passage is about. And why he says in verse 27, he says, you know what? You don't add anything to your life through worry. Not an hour. Worry never gives you anything. It always takes away. And it takes you away from God because your trust is here. It doesn't mean your trust is in bad things. Clothing, the basic needs are good things, but they're not the kingdom. That's treasure here. So let's apply this some more. As you're making decisions, as you're doing day-to-day life, as you figure out what you're going to do this week, how you're going to deal with all the different economic issues, the health issues, you know, as the government gives maybe different advice on what they want us to do, and maybe they don't always agree even with each other. And, should I wear a mask? Should I not wear a mask? Should we social distance? Should we not? Is it a hoax? Is it real? Man, there's so much floating around. As you're making your decisions and you're going through your day-to-day life, and not just about the current situation, but even just as far as the normal everyday decisions of what you'll do with your day and what you'll do with your life, are your decisions dictated primarily by treasure here? Which may be good things. But are they dictated by treasure here or by the kingdom? Well, you say, I want it to be the kingdom. But it's tricky. Because again, it's not the difference between good and bad. Well, I've been lusting after bad things. No, you may be worried about good things. What you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. But those are not the kingdom. So what are clues? Well, the first clue is anxiety and distance from God. Do you have anxiety? Do you have distance from God? Are you afraid of loss? I'll tell you, one of the big, I just to give you a window, because I don't know if you're seeing it. I see it because of who I am as a pastor. There, you know, are we going to reopen? Are we going to reopen? And that's why I keep saying, well, we didn't close. We're just not having in-person large group services right now. But the church, you can't close a church. You can't. You can not have a service. The church is the church. But since what we call Sunday morning, we've called that church. Well, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And, you know, you've got people saying, oh, we can't get together. We've got people saying, we've got to get together. And you know what? A lot of pastors can worry about, and I'm that can be me too, is worrying about losing people. Worrying about shrinking the church. Worried about people being mad at you. But whatever comes after the word worry, the minute worry is part of it or afraid of loss, that's a sign that I am valuing a good thing that is not the kingdom. Because any treasure that is in God, I can't lose. That's his point. Neither moth nor rust destroy, thieves do not break in and steal. Nothing that God wants to give me is ever at risk. And so if I find myself, well, what's going to happen if? Whoa, there's a sign. That's a clue that I'm making decisions based on earthly treasure. And it also is a sign that I am pulling away from God. I don't may feel like I am. And as I pull away from God, one of the things you'll notice is you will pull away from others, God's people. But even just generally, you'll pull away from others. Let's say you're, think about a relationship, especially if you're married. And maybe this time has exposed, because of the added stress, it's exposed cracks in the relationship. Or maybe you already knew of them. And so you worry about what's going to happen. You're afraid of loss. And maybe not afraid of losing your spouse. Maybe you're afraid of losing yourself, your happiness. And so you pull away. And sometimes to pursue earthly treasure, you'll pull away from others, which will also, you'll suddenly realize that you're distant from God. And all of these are signs of treasure here. Because the minute I have to go into protection mode, as a pastor, the minute I think I have to protect the church, I see the church as an earthly treasure. It's no longer about the kingdom, right? Because if the church is God's church, if Jesus is the leader of the church, well, then he said the gates of hell can't prevail against it. So if I'm worried about the church, then the church has become an earthly treasure. Look at that. Whoa. Because the minute I'm in worry, I'm on earthly treasure. And he said, don't worry. Verse 34, he wraps it up. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got enough problems. Trust me. That's tough when you feel that things are under threat. Why? Because those things that you feel threatened about are probably treasure. And that's tough because a lot of those things are good things. I've shared this before. I'll share it again. Do you know that the number one earthly treasure that I struggle with are my children? And as far as I know, they're watching right now. But if you want to really get me worried, I worry about my kids. I worry about losing them and my family and then my church family. Because those earthly relationships become more important to me. And I think those relationships are very important. Those are good things. But the minute they become ahead of the kingdom, verse 33, seek first the kingdom, his rightness. And then everything else follows. And when I do that, then that's the recipe for not worrying. And boy, that's hard. That's tough. So I don't know what you're most afraid of right now. But worry and anxiety, fear of loss, are all signs of the earthly kingdom, not the heavenly kingdom. All signs that your treasure, where it is and what it is not answered by one word, the kingdom. We need to be in a position of knowing and trusting Jesus. That is incredibly difficult, especially when you are experiencing the threat of loss. Job lost every treasure he had, including his own physical well-being. And yet, what's amazing about Job, he mourned, he was sad, it was hard, he didn't understand, he took it up with God, and yet the one thing he does consistently, even when he feels that it shouldn't have happened, and he says, I feel like this isn't fair, but the one thing he does say is, even if God kills me, I will still serve him. His trust never wavered. He didn't understand, he didn't like it, and he said, God, I think this is wrong. And yet when it was all over, God said of Job, he has spoken well of me. Job kind of almost got in God's face. In fact, God spent like 3 chapters telling Job, listen, you need to not question me. But Job hadn't spoken badly of God because Job never stopped trusting God, even when he questioned him. Because Job found his ultimate treasure not in everything else. And that was the whole point of Job, because Satan started out with, hey, God, the only reason Job loves you is because you've given him other treasure. And God said, I know Job better than that. Watch, I'll let you take away everything. I'll let you take away everything he holds most dear. And it won't change anything between Job and I, because God knew that he, as God, was Job's treasure. And Job proved it. Where are you at? Where am I at? Are we trusting him? Are we focused on his kingdom? The children's message was about, what do you call home? When I'm done today, I will go home to Chesterville. But that's not home. It's just where I stay right now. It is home. That's where my family is. But I must never lose sight of where home truly is. So I'm not worried about the next election. I'm not worried who is in power in Augusta. I'm not worried about who's on the select board of Chesterville. Because my home is secure. Because where is my treasure and what is my treasure? I'm seeking every day to make the answer to that be the kingdom. I'm praying that you do too. And that this time has helped clarify that for you. God oftentimes brings rough times, hard times into our lives to help us see that our eye, that the light that we thought was in us was darkness. And that our treasure needs to be in the kingdom. Let's pray. Father, I just pray this morning, Lord, I know that there are many who are struggling. Some of them are struggling with relationship issues. They're struggling with economic issues. They're struggling with health issues. They're upset about the restrictions. They're upset about the people who don't follow the restrictions. They're worried about the next election. They're worried about what's going to happen in their town. They're worried about, oh, so many things. And Lord, many of these things are real. They are very real things. And yet our worry about them means that our eyes are on earthly things. Even if they're good earthly things, they're still earthly things. And we can lose stuff here. Because this world decays and there are evil workers in it that steal. But Lord, your treasure, that which you give us, can never be taken away. It can never be threatened. We can never lose it. May our faith, our trust, our real life, day-to-day lives be built on you, not on things that can go away and things that can be taken away. And Lord, that's really tough because that's what we're used to. And as you said in your teaching this week, the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. And a lot of times we're pretty Gentile. We seek all those things. And yet you know what we need and you know your plans. And we need to trust you more. And I need to trust you more. Lord, when we find ourselves anxious, when we begin to feel that we're in darkness, may that tell us that we're in darkness because our hearts are on the wrong treasure, that we have settled for good things, whether it be a relationship, a person, a government, a job, a financial situation, a piece of property. But we have settled on things that will never be strong enough to sustain us. Only you are. Lord, I pray if there's anyone who's interacting with this right now, who feels really, really lost, that they will reach out because, Lord, we need each other. This is so hard to do. We can't really do it effectively without helping each other. And Lord, as you next week teach us about that, may we be bound together. May we be in each other's lives, helping each other, spurring each other on to keep our eyes on the kingdom. And Lord, we look forward to the day when all this temporary stuff is wiped away for good and we come to live for good in the unshakable kingdom where there will be no loss, no death, only the joy and peace of your presence. We look forward to that day. That day is not today, far as we know, at least not so far. So Lord, today we keep our eyes there. And we set our minds there. Thank you, Father, for loving us this much, trying to take care of us, even as we are very resistant to it. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Notice this week, especially depending on how you consume news and media, what politicians you listen to. One of the biggest ways that pretty much any politician right now, or many of them, and a lot of different news sources try to get your attention and your following, whether to watch them or to vote for them, is to tell you that your treasure's under threat, that you're just an inch away from losing it all. And they tell you that you need to be really scared, mad, outraged, because your treasure is under threat. And that's not unique to either party, any singular politician, or any particular news source. But when people try to get you going and try to get your support by telling you, you need to be really worried, you need to be outraged, you're under threat, you're going to lose, you need to realize that that is not coming from the kingdom of God. That is not being motivated by the Spirit of the Lord. And there's only one other option for what the Spirit is from then, if it's not the Holy Spirit. And say, these are voices I should not be consuming. These are voices that I should not make central to my consumption. I need to get back to the Word of God, because if I'm being made to be worried about loss, then the Spirit speaking to me, no matter where it's coming from, is definitely not coming from the Lord. Because He said, do not be anxious. So any voice that says, you need to be really worried about what's about to happen, that's not from the Lord. So be careful what you consume. Be careful what you allow to come into your eye. Because sometimes it says it's light, but it's darkness. We need to be in the Word of God. We need to keep our eyes on the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom. I am praying for you. I am looking forward to hopefully getting to see more of you as we find ways to connect, as we experiment and do more things. I'm excited for Saturday. I'll tell you, I'm pretty nervous too, because it's just a new thing and it's different for us. But you know, I gotta not worry. God is at work. Father, be with us. May we find our hope in you. May we find our trust in you. Thank you for the chance to be together, even digitally today. May our hearts and minds be with each other all the time, rested in you. May your kingdom come, your will be done on earth the same way it is in heaven. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hope to see you at 3 o'clock for our study on David. Otherwise, have a great day.